Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.
Ah, yes. One of our favorite times of the week. We had a chance to talk to Greg Cosell, senior producer, NFL Films. Hello, Greg.
Tom, what's happening? I see the NBA season has started.
Yes, and looks like things are going swimmingly in Philly.
They really are. Things are going exceptionally well. You know, just so you know, I'm going to keep my cell phone going during this conversation. You know,
so. You are going to be fully engaged. We would expect nothing less from you,
fantastic.
Greg. Nothing.
And I'm not going to tell you where I'm going after this either. You know.
We heard about Delilah's. We read the Yelp reviews. They were mixed.
Oh man.
But here's my other pet peeve today. This happens every once in a while, and I love this stuff. So, you know, obviously I do some radio shows, and people hear me talk about various things. So I love when people on Twitter, take something I say, okay, you know, good or bad, it doesn't matter, and then they get into an argument with each other, you know, these people, but they keep tagging me, I care about their argument, you know?
Yeah, I know, it's like, leave me alone, please, just leave me out of it.
Like they think I'm going to get engaged in their argument and get involved, you know?
No way.
It's probably two guys in their basement in their underwear, you know?
Oh, yeah, eating Salisbury steak, and you know, that type of deal. Just that's a sad way to go about life, Greg. It really is. let's talk Colts and what you've seen in the Colts and what they've been doing. Let's start with their offense. I know Jonathan Taylor's having a really nice year for them.
Carson Wentz, by the way.
Yeah. Well, give us a little thumbnail sketch on the Colts and what they do offensively and what they're good at.
Yeah, well, one thing that really stands out watching their tape, well, a couple of things. Number one, they're very good with the play-action pass game. Carson Wentz is becoming very decisive. He's starting to look more like he did earlier in his career. He's playing much more under control, working effectively from the pocket. The one thing that play-action normally does is it's an either-or kind of read. So when you drop back, you're basically picking up a defender, and you know where you're going with the football because the one defender will tell you where to go. And very often you even know that before the snap of the ball because of the way the play is designed versus the coverage you're anticipating. But he's been very good off play action. He's starting to throw the deep ball a little better. Their offense just has the look of an offense that's pretty efficient because he's not really turned the ball over. Maybe it's due to the ankle because he hurt it a few weeks ago, but he's not moving around. There's no recklessness and lack of discipline to his game right now. So he's been playing very efficient football, and we know that Jonathan Taylor is a strong runner who's got speed to break away. So their offense is kind of developing a multi-dimensional feel to it, and we'll see if that continues. But that's what stands out up to this point based on the tape.
Wentz is sure taking care of the football a lot better. Yep. I was looking at his numbers last year. 15 picks in 12 games. He's only got one this year. Do you see that on film, that he's taking better care of the football? And
without question.
Yeah.
The thing is, Larry, he's playing very decisively. So I think Frank Reich and the Colts offensive staff do an excellent job with their game planning to attack the specific opponent they're playing. So they present defined reads and throws. And then, of course, that's what coaching is. Every coach tries to do that. Some do it better than others. I think Frank Reich and his staff do an excellent job with that, and that's presenting those reads and throws for Carson Wentz. So he's not getting stuck in the pocket. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things which I'm sure you can all visualize over the last couple of years, and you can see it not only with Wentz, but when you see a quarterback who's struggling for whatever reason, they get stuck in the pocket. So they get back there, and it looks like they don't know where to go with the football. Wentz is not doing that, and he's not moving without purpose, which he had a tendency to do a year ago. So either the ball's coming out, or if he doesn't see it, he's checking it down. And by the way, he was never a great check down quarterback, and I think he's doing that better this year.
One thing I've learned from you, Greg, is that you don't need to run the ball effectively for play action.
No, you
work.
Do not.
Things are not married, as many people are led to believe. But I'm curious when it comes to Wentz, if Taylor in that run game is slowed down sufficiently or stopped, it will that make Wentz vulnerable? Will that get him out of his comfort zone? Could that? I'm sorry, I'm asking you to speculate, but. Based on what you've seen, if that run game threat and that hammer is not there, does it put more pressure on him and make him vulnerable?
Well, the reason it does, Rod, is not because you need a run game for play action. The reason it does is because it then puts you in more long yardage situations. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that changes then everything about the pass game. Because if you're going to be in 2nd and 8 as opposed to 2nd and 4, let's say, the play sheet becomes shrunk a little bit. The defense doesn't have to defend as much. They can do more tactically. Because the way the game is played, when you get into long yardage situations, particularly if you can get a team into 3rd and long, and what I'm saying is not profound, but it plays out tactically. You get a team into 3rd and long, then the defense has the tactical advantage. So that's what you're trying to accomplish defensively. It's one reason why, and for those who may have been watching over the, and I know they haven't been on for a couple of weeks now, but for those who have watched some of Eli and Peyton Manning on Monday Night Football, Peyton has talked quite a bit about the fact that you don't want to wait to get to 3rd down. You really like to be aggressive on 2nd down to get 1st downs. Because if you get to 3rd and 9, the defense has the advantage tactically. And because your play calling becomes limited. I've talked to a lot of quarterbacks and coaches. People, some fans think, on 3rd down you have 100 plays you're choosing from. You've basically got 4 or 5 concepts you're choosing from. And the defense knows that, they attack. Whereas if you're in normal down and distance situations, your playbook is far more open and the defense is a little more closed. So that's the reason the run game's important, not because you can't do play action. It's just because if the 49ers can shut down the run game and put them in long yardage situations, then you can dial up some pressure concepts, then you can do more with your coverage schemes. So it changes the flow of the game.
Yeah, I don't even like to get to 2nd down, Greg. So I just, I just like smooth sailing right down the field.
Is that like, getting to 2nd base or 3rd base? I don't know. What are you talking about here?
It's been a long time, Greg. I don't even know what you're talking about, to be honest with you.
I'm with you on that, Tom.
What do the Colts do? What do they do well defensively?
Well, they haven't been as good this year defensively as they were a year ago. It's supposed to be a strength, and it hasn't quite worked out that way up to this point. I mean, they're a team that plays all nickel as their sub-defense, and in fact, they've played well over 80% of their defensive snaps in nickel. So they don't play dime. They rarely play in base. Now, this will be a fascinating game for them to see if it's different, because clearly the Niners are a little different cat when it comes to the rest of the league because of how much they play Juszczyk. So we will see if that holds or if they're going to play far more base. But one reason I believe that they don't play base and they're willing to play a lot of nickel is because Kenny Moore is one of the most overlooked but best slot corners in the league, and he's a very physical player. So he can defend the run. So I'm very curious to see what their approach might be against the 49ers.
And real quick, I just wanted to throw this in there because I know I'll forget if I don't, because you mentioned they just basically stay in nickel. You've done this for so long. You've covered some of the best defenses that have played in the NFL. Do they have anything in common? Or like do the best defenses usually have a defense they stay in predominantly the most of the game and just make it work because they have really good players and they don't care if you know what they're going to run? Or do teams that some of the better ones have, a bunch of multiple looks they throw at you and you have a hard time figuring it out?
I think that's a both. I mean, there's no one way. Look, when you look at teams like Buddy Ryan's Bears, I know I'm going back a long way to 1985, mm-hmm. or the Ravens, the year they won the Super Bowl. Those were multiple look defenses that just came at you with pressure in waves. Mm-hmm. You can look at the Legion of Boom, considered one of the better defenses of all time, and they pretty much played cover 3, had phenomenal personnel, had arguably the best strong safety safety in the league in Cam Chancellor, clearly the best post safety in the league in Earl Thomas, and they could line up and play. So there's no one specific answer to that. You know, one thing I've learned from people a lot smarter than I am, Tom, is there's many ways to do things well, and there's many ways to win in the league. And, you know, it's not just, hey, you have to do this. You know, I mean, at the end, look, you know, it's like in baseball, you know, when people ask a lot of questions and, you know, people, you know, give smart answers. Well, we're trying to score more runs than the other team. Well, sure, you know, but there's many ways to accomplish what you're trying to accomplish. That depends on coaching and deployment of personnel.
Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.
Sure.
Greg, how do you see the Colts run game against the Niners run D? I mean, 2 weeks ago, we saw the Niners shut down Chase Edmonds and James Conner for the most part. But if you dig a little deeper, you find that Edmonds had a pretty bad shoulder injury, and he only got six carries in the game, and they did a nice job in those six carries. But is the Niner run D turn the corner? I know Indy gets Quentin Nelson back for this game. How do you see the Niners trying to D up Taylor in this game?
I would say that you're talking about two totally different run games. I mean, the Colts will line up with Wentz under center and basically say, here we are, here's our run game, we're going to physically win at the point of attack. That's not what the Cards run game is. The Cards run game is a schemed run game that works off shotgun and spread formations. So you're talking about, this is a buckle your chin strap game for the defense against the Colts run game, particularly with Nelson coming back this week. So it's a totally different feel. The tactics in approaching it and trying to stop it will be totally different, Larry. So, you know, it's they're going to have to line up and play in this game. This is they'll run some scheme stuff. Everybody has scheme stuff, but for the most part, this is a run game that works between the tackles, and you have to man up.
Sounds like the kind of run game that's real good for you coming off of a bye. Had a little chance to get healthy, get rested, and be ready to put on your big boy pads, Fred Warner.
Well, that's the kind of run game it is. And, you know, Taylor, people lose sight of the fact that Taylor's 226 pounds. Yeah, he's not a little back.
No, not at all. Greg Cosell, senior producer, NFL Films, part of the NFL Matchup Show on ESPN, joining us as he does every week here on the Tolbert, Kruger, and Brooks Show. I want to jump to a game. I'm curious if you watched it. Chargers-Ravens.
I did.
What happened to the Chargers offensively? Credit to the Ravens, you know, for what they did, especially defensively. But how much of it was the Ravens and how much of it was the Chargers just having a lost weekend in Baltimore?
You know, a couple of points I'll make. Number one, I thought that Herbert was not sharp mentally or physically, and that happens. He was not sharp at all. I thought he didn't see things really well, and he was not overly accurate. So, you know, that does happen. I would say, and I'm going to mention a player who did not play the week before against Indianapolis in the Monday night game, who I think is absolutely critical to their defense, and particularly to all their looks and their pressures, and that's safety Deshaun Elliott. There's a player who no one probably knows about. He wasn't a big-time draft choice coming out of the University of Texas, but the way they play defense under the D coordinator Martindale, the way they move people around, the way they show multiple front looks, the way they show overloads, I think Deshaun Elliott is absolutely critical. And he actually had a sack on 3rd and 5 to end the second possession. I think he's a piece in that defense that is so, so important. And I actually think Chuck Clark, the other safety, is another really important player. And I think the safety position is a really important position in today's NFL. And for a lot of years, people thought, oh, you can get safeties anywhere. Now, obviously, it depends how you want to play defense. But I think those players are really impactful players. And I think they did some things from their front looks, and they did some things individually. I thought Calais Campbell had a great game.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, that old fella's still playing good football.
I know. Isn't it pretty amazing? That guy's pretty good.
Yeah, he's a leader, no doubt.
Massive. That's a big human being, a big, agile human being.
I know. I met him a number of years ago at a Super Bowl, and you know, I'm actually, you and I, Tom, we've never met, but I'm about six. I used to be a little taller, but I'm getting older. So, you know, I used to be 6'4", but I think I'm 6'3" now. And not many guys, you know, tower, you know, I'm not spending my time around NBA players, yeah, obviously, but I mean, not many, you know, quote unquote normal people tower over me. He kind of made me feel really small.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like a mountain with legs.
I know.
It's incredible. Did you watch any of the Cleveland Arizona game?
I did. I haven't gotten to that.
Okay,
no.
I was going to ask you about that because I thought Arizona, some of Arizona's wins this year, that one, and look, Cleveland was dinged up, but the win they had against the Rams, that may have been the best win of the year.
I'll tell you one team that, and again, because of the other issues, which I don't discuss, and, you know, I don't, but I think that the Raiders offense is a really interesting offense to watch.
Mm-hmm.
I think they attack down the field more than they ever have. I think that's a function of both play calling now, personnel, and Carr, who I always felt until maybe midway through last year, and it's continued this year, I always felt Carr was a bit risk-averse. I think now he's more aggressive throwing the ball down the field. And like I said, some of that is design. You know, they've got players who can get vertical, so they scheme a lot of that stuff. But I think they're a really fascinating pass game to watch.
How good was that throw to Drake?
The touch was beautiful. Now, there's a perfect example of where they knew what they were going to get on defense, okay? And what they did is it was actually cover four, by the way, so it was, you know, without going into what all that means. Mm-hmm. But the point is, you know, against that particular defense, they lined up in a formation where they actually had Foster Moreau, the tight end, was the single receiver to the short side of the field, but he was in what we call a reduced split. So against cover four, when he runs vertical, he kind of eats up both the corner and the safety, and then Drake, who is in the backfield, he runs the wheel route, and he has to be taken by the underneath linebacker. Has to be, because there's no one else who can take him. Mm-hmm. So they dictated the matchup of Drake versus Anthony Johnson, and it was beautiful design and a great throw. It was a quarters beater.
Greg, two indie guys I got to ask you about. I love Quiddy Pay at Michigan, and he got off to a hot start. How's Quiddy Pay looking to you on the film? Yeah, I know he barely played in this last game. But the other guy I got to ask you about is Bobby Okereke.
I love him.
Okereke had a huge day against the Texans, 14 tackles, and he's flying all over the place. What I mean, we're obviously, you know, the 49ers are obviously dialed in on DeForest Buckner and Darius Leonard and those kinds of guys. But give me your thoughts on Pay and Okereke.
Well, it's really interesting when you Pay. I liked Pay coming out, but I haven't had a good feel for him yet in the league because he's missed a lot of time. So let's talk about Okereke, and I think it's a philosophy because look, they draft Darius Leonard, now they draft Okereke, and I liked Okereke's tape at Stanford quite a bit. They obviously want speed and athleticism at linebacker, and he brings that. So, you know, I think he's on the verge. Now, obviously, with Darius Leonard, people are going to talk about him deservedly so. But I think Okereke is one of those guys that could be a really, really good linebacker. So they've got, when they're in their nickel, which we discussed, they play over 80% of their snaps, they have two explosive athletic linebackers. And if you're going to play that much nickel, you're going to need that. And I think he's gotten incrementally better, Larry, each and every season, and he's a really good player.
Talking to Greg Cosell, we go over the NFL every single week with him. Is there a team out there, and we're about a third of the way, or right around a third of the way through the season, is there a team out there that has surprised you, either really good or really bad in the way they played, and the way maybe the expectations you had coming into this year off of last year, that they, for whatever reason they haven't quite got there, or they've been a lot better than maybe that you thought they might be?
I hate to be negative, so I'm going to try to leave that alone right now.
Okay. You don't have to talk about the Dolphins. Okay, yes, let's move on. What about the positive side?
Yeah, I'm looking at the teams now to see, you know, who jumps out to me. Ooh. I mean, I don't know if this is a surprise. Maybe it is. I can't speak to how people think of teams. But I think the Dallas Cowboys are a really, really good team. And I think, you know, I was talking with a quarterback coach this summer who's been in the league for quite a while, and we were just talking about the evolution of Dak Prescott. Because you have to remember, Dak Prescott came in the league as a fourth-round pick out of Mississippi State. As Larry probably remembers, there were major concerns about his accuracy, just his ability to play as we think of NFL quarterbacks. And he came to Dallas, and for his first couple of years in the league, it was run game, it was O-line, solid defense. You know, they made the transition with him to play a lot under center. And he was a good player, but everybody always thought there was something missing. Well, even last year, before he got hurt, he was playing at a really high level. And you can just see now, watching him play, he's just a really good player. He's tough in the pocket. What always stands out to me watching him is when there are bodies around him, that does not affect him at all. And he's become a little more accurate. His ball location has become more consistent. And they have weapons. And, you know, the run game this year has really fueled a lot of what they've done.
And I wanted to ask you, too, about the rookie quarterbacks. We talked about them beforehand. What do you think about the rookie quarterbacks? Zach Wilson, you got Trevor Lawrence down there, and then you got Mac Jones up in New England. We got Trey Lance here, but he's only really played a half. I don't really want to judge him on one game. It's ridiculous. But what about those three have played? What have you noticed? And Justin Fields, I guess.
Yeah, I think Zach Wilson, quite honestly, and I made it a point, actually came in this weekend to really, like, study him because, you know, he's a guy that, you know, obviously I know people are going to ask me about. And I think he's still playing a little bit like he played in college. And you can get away with it in college. But I think he's a little loose. I think he's a little undisciplined. I think very often his drops do not sync up with the receiver's routes. So there's no consistency to his game. And then every once in a while, you'll see the arm talent and the ability that everybody gets excited about. He made a couple of throws on the final two possessions of his last game. Obviously, they had a bye this week because they were in London the week before. But he made a couple of throws on the final two possessions of the last game against Atlanta that were positive with better timing, precise ball placement. Can he build on that? But right now, he just needs to settle down and play with the discipline and detail and nuance that NFL quarterback demands. You know, Steve Young could probably give you, you know, a whole lecture about this based on his experience with Bill Walsh. But, I mean, he's not there yet in terms of that. But you do see the traits jump off every once in a while. Trevor Lawrence, to me, is moving in exactly the right direction. He's getting a little bit better each and every week. And keep in mind, he's on a bad team. And that always slows down the development of a quarterback, no matter how talented you are. But I think the improvement has been incremental but clear. Justin Fields, I think he's not been asked to do a lot, which is probably a good move within the context of their O-line. Their run game is actually pretty good. They've got the rookie Khalil Herbert, and they're now featuring him, and he's a very interesting player out of Virginia Tech. But Fields, you see the talent. You see the throws, but he's at the stage where he leaves the pocket prematurely, and that hopefully comes with experience. Because as soon as you do that, yeah, will he make a play here and there because he can? But you break down and disrupt the timing of your pass game. And obviously, that's not the way the pass game is taught.
Two things I got to get your thoughts on. One, you mentioned Dallas. I'm surprised how good Randy Gregory has become.
My God. I'm glad you mentioned him.
Isn't he incredible? I mean, he's just flying off the edge. And he looks like the guy we saw in college. Give me your thoughts on him. And the other thing I got to ask you about, we got you here. What is Sirianni, the Eagles coach, why is he not running the football at all? I mean, they don't run the ball at all, and they've got Miles Sanders. They've got some backs. It's not like they don't have backs. Give me your thoughts on those two things.
I can't answer it with the Eagles because I'm not in Nick Sirianni's head, but I will say that I personally, again, it's just everybody has a different view. They know their players better than I do. I think Sirianni is trying to play to what he believes the strength of Jalen Hurts is, which is putting him in the gun. But I go back to what Brandon Staley said a few weeks ago. There's no physical element to the Eagles' offense whatsoever. Now, that we can debate that. Some people might say that doesn't matter. I think it matters. To quote Brandon Staley, the physical element in football is real, and they have no physical element to their offense. Who was the other one you asked me about?
Randy Gregory.
Oh, Randy Gregory. I watched him coming out of Nebraska. I thought based on pure talent, Larry, he was a top 10 pick in a draft. And obviously we know he's had, you know, some major issues that caused suspensions. But right now he's long. He's athletic. He's flexible. He looks like Gumby sometimes out there. He's explosive. He's speed to power. I mean, he has dominant snaps as a pass rusher. And he's really he and Micah Parsons are really critical pieces to that defense.
They have a pass rush. They have linebackers that can flow. They got a stud and Diggs on the back end. Yep. Like it is, much as it pains me to say, that's a good Cowboys outfit. And they're being run well. I mean, their drafting over the past few years has been outstanding.
And even some of the other rookies, Odighizuwa, he's the UCLA kid, right, Larry?
Yeah, he's good.
He's getting a lot of snaps, and he's showing up on film. They're pretty good. I mean, overall, I think they're a solid team.
Greg, we always appreciate it. We always appreciate, unlike some people in your fair city, you giving the effort every single time.
Well, I can tell you that's true. Maybe I'll get some things wrong, but it's not for lack of effort. I'll tell you that.
There
you
go. Never is. Greg puts in the damn work. He shows up and puts in the work.
You earned that trip to Delilah's, Greg. You don't just go there because you don't want to be at work.
Hey, Greg, as always, it's always our pleasure. A lot of fun. Have a great weekend, and we'll look forward to doing it again next week.
All right, guys. Appreciate it. Thanks, Greg.
Thanks, Greg.
Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.